Bringing American football to the world, it's Stephen Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves. Welcome back to Fantasy Football Rants and Raves. This is Stephen Miranda. No, there is no Jeffrey tonight. Today is Tuesday, November 6, 2007. Jeffrey is just too sick to be able to do the show with me tonight, so I'm going to go solo. In a few moments, I'll have Mike Nazarek of Fantasy Football Mastermind join me, and we will go over our clicks and flicks for Week 10. Yes, Week 10, the final week where byes are concerned. The Houston Texans, New England Patriots, New York Jets, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers are all on a bye, and this is a final week where byes come into play. After this, all teams will have played 9 games. All teams will have had their bye out of the way, and starting with Week 11, we'll have a full slate of 16 games to talk about. Now, as I said earlier on the show, Jeffrey called today around 5 o'clock. He's just not been feeling good. He's been feeling under the weather. The doctor gave him some medication, said, hey, Jeff, you need to rest, get some sleep, get 24 hours of sleep, and just, you know, be cool and chill out. And so he called me around 5, said he wasn't going to be able to make it. But he did send me and Nazarek an email with his clicks and flicks for the week. So we're going to go ahead and give you those as well. Right now, I'm going to give you a little bit of NFL news as it pertains to fantasy football. So let me get right to it. Ah, man. And you've got to start with this.
Ship all banged up.
Kansas City. You know what? First of all, they come off a loss to the Green Bay Packers. But the big concern in Kansas City is Grandmama Larry Johnson. That's right. Larry Johnson hurt his ankle in the loss to Green Bay in the fourth quarter. Some people reported that it was broken and he was going to be out for the season. Kansas City denied that report, said it was, the report was wrong, and that he is it's just strained. It's a bad strain. He's using crutches to get around. We're not sure if he's out for the season. What we do know is that he will now be playing this week against the Denver Broncos. Priest Holmes is going to get the start for the Kansas City Chiefs. So that's definitely something you should be worried about. If you have Larry Johnson, you're not going to have him available to you this week and maybe for a couple weeks, and possibly we won't know after more tests are run, but quite possibly he will be out for the rest of the year. Now, in Jacksonville, the Jags are a little excited that possibly they might be getting quarterback David Garrard back. Unfortunately, they did get some bad news on the defensive side of the ball. If you have the Jacksonville Jaguars defense, defensive tackle Marcus Stroud has been suspended without pay for 4 games for violating the NFL policy on anabolic steroids and related substances. Stroud's suspension begins immediately. He will not be available to return until December 3rd. So if you have the Jacksonville Jaguar defense, that's going to hurt a little bit because Stroud was definitely a wrecking force on that defense. And now that he's gone for 4 days, that defense might be diminished just a little bit. If you're looking for help for the Tennessee Titans defense, not that they need it, but Goodell says he is not going to shorten Pac-Man Jones' suspension. He's going to have to sit out all 2007 season and will not be available to begin to work out with the Titans until after their season is over. If you're looking for quarterback help, don't look to the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings went out and signed Coy Detmer to a 1-year contract on Tuesday, looking for help. Tavares Jackson with his concussion and getting out on the field and getting hurt again, and then Holcomb coming back in. They needed some help, so they went out. They signed Coy Detmer. He shouldn't be on anyone's fantasy football minds. Even if he gets on the field, Detmer's not going to be pretty big. In Philadelphia, if you are thinking that possibly the Eagles are going to pull Donovan McNabb and bring in rookie Kevin Cobb so they can see how corn on the cob is going to fare in the National Football League, don't think that's going to happen. Head coach Andy Reid says that he plans to stick with the 5-time Pro Bowl quarterback Donovan McNabb, and he's not going to lose his starting job after a mediocre first half of the season. So that's all the news that is fit for print right now. There are a lot of other injuries going on. If you're concerned with injuries to like Dave Garrard and quarterback Jay Cutler of the Denver Broncos, you should definitely check out our big-time sponsor, FFMastermind.com. That's FFMastermind.com. They have the latest on all of the injuries and everything that's going on in the National Football League, all of the moves, all of the additions. One thing, if you have the Cowboys defense, you should be happy. They have activated Tank Johnson, so all of a sudden their defense, which is already pretty good, is going to get better. All right, now it's time for me to give you a little bit of information regarding the fantasy football leagues that we've had here on NFL Rants and Raves. So let's just get you some scoring news. All right, this was pretty intriguing. There are only six teams out of the 144 teams that are playing in Rants and Raves fantasy football leagues that have that are averaging over 100 points per week. That's pretty impressive. First of all, if you're averaging over 100 points per week, you're doing pretty good, okay? So here are those teams. In League 8, Frayed Knots leads all 144 teams of Rants and Raves fantasy football leagues, all 12. He has 967 points, averaging 107.4 points per week. That's Frayed Knots of League 8. My team in League 6, the Booyah Touchdowns, has 961 points, averaging 106.8 points per week. In League 6, the Czech Anglo All Spurs have 943 points. They're averaging 104.8 per week. In League 1, the Scottish Claymores have 941 points on the season, averaging 104.6 points per week. In League 12, the Doug Butts Dog Pound, that's Stuart, what's up, dog, 918 points, 102 points per game, per week. And in Fantasy Football League 9, the Bam's Bears, 911 points on the year, 101.2 points per week. That's pretty impressive for those six teams. Congratulations. Halfway through the season, you're looking pretty nice. And I believe all of those teams have winning records and are doing pretty good in their respective leagues. All right. Jeffrey also took the time, and I know he's not here, he's out sick, but took the time to put some scoring studs and duds together for me so that I can give you that information. At the QB position last week, Ben Roethlisberger put up a huge 28 points, followed closely by Drew Brees with 27 points and Tony Romo in third with 22 points against the Eagles. Overall for the season, Tom Brady has 236 points. Ouch. Man, if you took Tom Brady in the second round, you are feeling pretty good about yourself. Tony Romo has 158 points right now, and Derek Anderson is in third place. Who would have thought Derek Anderson, a player who probably didn't even get drafted in almost all of the leagues, 146 points right now for the Cleveland Browns. At the running back position last week was all about AP, Adrian Peterson, all day. 46 points for Adrian Peterson. Jamal Lewis had 33 points with his four touchdown performance, and Joseph Addai put up 28 points. On the season, Adrian Peterson leads all running backs with 166 points. Joseph Addai has 139 points, and LaDainian Tomlinson has 137 points. The wide receiver totals, last week, T.O. led all wide receivers with 24 points. Santonio Holmes with 23 points. And Lee Evans, another Lee Evans signing of the Buffalo Bills, 22 points. Overall for the season, Randy Moss leads all wide receivers with 160 points, followed by T.J. Huzmanzada, 123 points, and Braylon Edwards of the Cleveland Browns 121 points. At the tight end position, last week it was all about Tony Gonzalez, 16 points. Jason Witten with 13 points with a 53-yard run with no helmet on. That was quite an impressive play. And Kellen Winslow of the Cleveland Browns had 12 points overall. It's Antonio Gates with 91, followed by Jason Witten with 88 points and Tony Gonzalez with 82. Defensive special teams, well, the Detroit Lions put up 29 points thanks to Sean Rodgers with that big, huge, heavy, 330-pounder run for a touchdown. They put up 29 points. The Pittsburgh Steelers put up 18 points, and the Tennessee Titans put up 15. Overall, the Patriots have 105. The Lions, yeah, the Detroit Lions defense, 97 points, and the Pittsburgh Steelers at 95. And coming up, the kickers. Last week, Sean Sweezum of the Washington Redskins helped the Redskins in that overtime win. He put up 19 points. Jason Hansen of the Lions put up 17 points. And Mason Crosby of the Green Bay Packers with 16 points. Overall, kickers are Chris Brown and Rob Briones with 81 points apiece. And Steven Gostkowski of the New England Patriots has 79 points. Now, duds, these are players that were drafted pretty high in most drafts, yet they're just not holding up their end of the bargain. Phillip Rivers of San Diego in our league had negative points, but in general, he had 3 points. Donovan McNabb only put up 8 points. And VY, Vince Young, his Tennessee Titans keep winning, but Vince Young's just not looking good, only putting up 8 points. Wide receivers, Jericho Cotri only had 8 points. Larry Fitzgerald, 9, and Donald Driver, 9. We want to see double digits from our wide receivers, and they're just not getting it done. And at the running back position, Edgerrin James put up a huge 7 points, and that was basically because he scored a touchdown late in the game. so he got his 6 points there. The other point, he only had like 15 yards rushing. And Deshaun Foster only had 6 yards. Rushing 6 points total there in the game. So those are your duds for last week. Remember, this week, week 10, there are 4 teams on a bye, and this is the final week for byes. And now it's time for
the Mastermind Edge.
All right, with me, joining me, and only me, since Jeffrey decided to play sick today, Mike Nazarek from Fantasy Football Mastermind. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, doing great, Steven. How's it going?
Pretty good. So you got that email from Jeff, too, saying that he was calling in sick today.
Yeah, I don't know. I got an email, and he sent me his picks to click and flick, but I guess maybe he just doesn't want to talk about some of the picks. Maybe he might be too embarrassed or whatnot. I don't know.
Well, you know my theory is why Jeff didn't come on the show, right? Last week in our 4 NFL Rants and Raves fantasy football leagues, my team played Jeff's team in all 4 leagues. So we played in 4 different matches. In 4 different leagues, we went against each other. I went 3-1.
Oh, good for you. I guess you're hurting there. Huh?
The one game he beat me in, he put Peterson out there, and that pretty much did me in.
He's got the right Peterson, right? The one from Minnesota, not Chicago.
That's right. Yes, he did have the right Peterson, who put up 50 points in our league, in our scoring system. And that, I mean, that was pretty crazy, and he kind of did me in on that one. But
in one of my experts leagues, we had a 5-game winning streak. We were 6-2. It moved into first place, and we played Adrian Peterson and got stomped. So
wow,
once in a while, you're going to get a guy that just comes out of the blue and scores 50 on you, and you just got to accept it and move on.
Well, fortunately, in the majority of my money leagues, I own Adrian Peterson, so I got to play him against a whole bunch of people last week, and that was good stuff.
That's good for you.
All right. Before we get to clicks and flicks, I've been talking about prior to your arrival that there is all kinds of injuries, and we call that segment
Ship All Banged Up.
Ship All Banged Up. Players injured all over the place. And right now, big news coming out of Kansas City with Larry Johnson and his ankle situation, and he suffered. So what are we saying? Some people are saying broken foot. Other people are just saying sprain. What do you got on that?
Well, actually, I was watching that game when it happened, and it looked like he got his foot caught under the tackler when he was taken down, and he was obviously in a lot of pain. And on the spot there, they called it a badly sprained ankle. But when they did some tests on it, on the foot, they found out that, and right now they're calling it a midfoot sprain, which kind of gives you reminders of what happened with Kevin Jones when he had the Lewis Frank injury. But they're not calling it that. They're still doing some more tests on it. But obviously he's hobbled, he's on crutches, he can't walk, hardly put any weight on his foot. So he's definitely not going to play this week. Now, what was interesting about this is that they're saying, well, maybe he's going to be out an extended period of time. And then a Fox station out of Denver this afternoon broke news saying that a source inside the team had confirmed that he actually had broke a bone in his foot and that he was lost for the season. Now, this kind of brings back memories of when Priest Holmes had the neck injury, a couple of years ago, and they were saying, oh, he's out for the season. No, he's going to be back in a couple of weeks, and it turned out that he was out for the season and almost pretty much ended his career. Of course, it's ironic now because Priest Holmes is going to start this week.
He's going to be
but
the guy.
But the bottom line
rock.
Here is that in Kansas City, there was another Fox station that came back, and they talked to the team, and the team is denying this report about this broken bone in the foot, saying that the doctors have looked at things, and they have not seen any kind of broken bone or anything, but they're still doing some tests on this, so it's still up in the air. But the bottom line is that he's not going to play this week, and Priest Holmes is going to start, and Colby Smith, the rookie, is going to see some action.
So if you had the wherewithal to pick up Priest Holmes earlier when he got taken off the pup list, you're sitting in pretty good shape right now.
Yeah, you're sitting in pretty good shape. I mean, I would definitely try and also get my hands on Colby Smith because he's the young one. He's like 11 years younger than Priest Holmes. Priest Holmes is 34 years old now. And,
right.
Of course, he is the veteran with the experience and all, but he's lost more than just one step. Now, he's going to start. Herman Edwards has already said that he doesn't want to give him more than about 15 carries. So that means that it's about Colby Smith should get about 8 to 10, 12 carries in that game. And if the kid rips off a long one, you might end up seeing Colby Smith start down the road here if Larry Johnson can't come back.
All right. Quarterbacks, obviously, I believe I heard a report today, 49 different quarterbacks have started this season, which is just outrageous. That's a huge amount of quarterbacks. Jay Cutler for Denver, he got hurt in the loss to Detroit. What do we know about him?
Well, we've heard that he just has, of course, they did the X-ray and the MRI on his leg, and it's badly bruised. Unfortunately, there's no stress fracture there. There's not a broken bone. So they're saying we don't know if he's going to do much practicing this week, but they're going to try to let him rest probably Wednesday and Thursday, maybe try and get him on the field on Friday. And there's a chance that he could play this week. It's just going to be touch and go for the next few days.
All right. And in Jacksonville, David Garrard, is he going to be available this week for the Jags or what do we know?
They're cautiously optimistic. Jack Del Rio said that that they're going to get David back on the field in limited practice time tomorrow, Wednesday, see how he goes. And then if he progresses and all, then they're kind of hoping and crossing their fingers that he's going to return to action and start this week.
All right. Good stuff. That's a lot of good stuff. I tell you, man, how you guys keep up with all of the injuries happening around the league, it's mind-boggling sometimes. Just people go down every week, but every week someone's got to fill the spot, and you guys just
It seems. I think we saw a report online that injuries are up like 18% this year, and this is where contacts in and around the league and the scouts and in addition to all the newspapers and the other AP outlets and ESPN and all come into play, and that's what I do for a living. We got to compile up all this information and stay on top of it and give the latest to all our subscribers and make sure that everyone can start the best lineup that they can each week.
Most excellent. Most excellent. Okay, so we're going to get to clicks and flicks, and this is what we're going to do. I'm not only going to give you mine, I'm going to give you Jeff. Since Jeff did the hard work of actually coming and putting together a list of clicks and flicks, I'm going to tell you who he says you should click and flick, even though he's not here to maybe defend some of the picks that he's made. I'm going to go ahead and throw them for you. So let's start with clicks and flicks. We'll start with clicks. These are players that if you've got them, you should definitely have in your starting lineup. Let's start at the quarterback position. Mike, who do you got?
Well, before we do this, I got to hear the sound again. The sound effect.
Oh, gosh, I keep forgetting that. That's right. It's time for clicks and flicks. There you go. Now you're ready.
All right, much better.
See, he feels like he's ready now. Excellent.
Okay, well, it's big week for you and me. You're the big Cowboy fan. I'm the big Giants fan. And I think the Giants...
Oh, wait a minute. Don't do it.
Of course, I'm hoping that they're going to win.
Don't do it, Naz. Don't click him. Don't click him.
Oh, you know I got to click the Eli Manning this week. I know Dallas is good, but your secondary can't be beaten on occasion, and I think Eli Manning should be good for about two scores in this game, maybe 250, 300 yards passing. Hopefully it'll be a little bit more competitive, especially near the end in the second half when you guys kind of ran away with it at the start of the season. But you got to admit, my Giants team is playing a lot better this week, so I think that they got a fair shot at it. You know, it's going to be interesting.
Eli Manning. All right. Jeff says that if you've got J.P. Lossman, he should definitely be the click. He's going up against Miami, and, well, we know it's Miami, so they're letting everybody throw the ball all over them. So Jeff says J.P. Lossman of the Buffalo Bills, who is, by the way, getting the start, as Dick Duron has already said, Lossman is starting for him this week.
He did say that, right?
On Monday Night Football, a game which I will be at in Seattle. Actually, both Jeff and I, if Jeff gets healthy enough to make the trip with me, we're going to be guests of the Dock up north to see the Seahawks host the San Francisco 49ers. And so I am clicking Matt Hasselbeck. San Francisco right now, they're just not good offensively nor defensively. And Matt Hasselbeck, one thing that Holmgren has said is he needs to start throwing the ball a little bit more because his running game isn't being effective, which just a little foreshadowing for later on when we get to running backs to flick. But Matt Hasselbeck, he should have a good day throwing the ball against San Francisco.
Yeah, I tell you, I don't know what's going on there. San Francisco, they started out the season 2-0 and they haven't won since. And, of course, the offense has always had trouble, but the defense was playing pretty well the first couple of games of the season, and now they can't stop anybody. I mean, look what Atlanta did on them. I couldn't believe Warrick Dunn ran for 100 yards and a score last week.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't remember last time Warrick Dunn ran for 100 yards and a score in one game.
Exactly. And he did it last week in San Francisco. I expect Hasselbeck to have a good one there. Running backs, Jeffrey clicking an Oakland running back, which shocked me. He's clicking Justin Fargas of the Oakland Raiders as they go against the Chicago Bears.
Well, Fargas now is the starting running back, you know, permanently. Lane Kiffin made that announcement Monday, and it came as a shock because, you know, Lane doesn't like to share things with the media. And,
no, he doesn't.
You know, he didn't tell anybody, you know, come Sunday that Lamont Jordan had been benched. And word around the league now is that Fargas is going to start permanently. Not only that, but that looks like the Raiders are probably going to end up either looking to trade or end up just outright releasing Lamont Jordan next March when the offseason comes and free agency begins again. And it looks like he's just not a fit for that system there. That and the fact that he always seems to get injured. You know, he's got the back injury, you know.
Yeah.
That always seems to flare up at the worst time for the team. So
that's Jeff's click. Who are you clicking at the running back position?
Well, I like the Lions' Kevin Jones. He's playing Arizona this week. You know, he's almost fully recovered from the foot injury. He didn't score this past week. Kind of expected a big game out of him, but they get up so quickly. And, you know, when Sean Rogers catches a pass and runs, like, the length of the field huffing and puffing and he gets in there,
big
I guess they didn't need to use Kevin Jones in there, but they're going to need him this week in Arizona, and I think he's going to score.
All right. I'm actually going to take the guy on the other side of the ball. I like Edgerrin James, running back for Arizona against Detroit. The Arizona Cardinals are two different teams. When they are at home, they're pretty amazing. When they're on the road, they're pretty bad. But at home, Arizona just plays a lot better, and Edgerrin James plays a lot better at home. I don't know why. I think he'll have a big day against the Detroit Lions.
Well, they got to get him more than nine touches. I mean, all he had was nine carries for 15 yards. I mean, he kind of salvaged it with a score late last week. But yeah, you're right in the fact that, I mean, nine touches for Edge almost should be getting nine carries in the first quarter alone.
Exactly, instead of nine
carries. I don't know what's going on there, but, you know, Ken Wisenhunt said, hey, we're going to get back on track here. Our offense is going to get on track. More edge, more passing. You know, they just got to play a little bit better, and they do play better at home. So, you know, I mean, that game should be pretty good for fantasy owners. A lot of I think it'll be high scoring, a lot of production in that game.
Yeah, I like the edge in that one. One quick question, so while we're on running backs, and Jeff obviously going with Justin Fargas there as his click. What in the world happened to Dominic Rhodes?
Well, I think he's fallen out of favor in Oakland there. I mean, it's just like, you know, the new coach comes in and he gets, after just maybe a month or two of action, he sees which players are going to get buy into the system, do what they're told, do a good job, and then others that kind of just get out there and just do their own thing or don't pay attention or don't want to learn the playbook. I mean, you could talk about Dwayne Jarrett down in Carolina. That's a whole other situation with the rookie coming in and not knowing any of the plays. That's why he's always inactive. But exactly. I think with Dominic Rhodes, it's not a question of a lack of talent. I think maybe it's just the system that he doesn't fit, and maybe he's got a different attitude. I don't know. I mean, they paid him a lot of money to come in there, and if you don't like Lamont Jordan, then I mean I like Justin Fargus too as a speedy back and all, but I don't think he's going to hold up, and they should maybe be getting Dominic Rhodes in there and giving him 10-15 carries, you know, to keep Fargus fresh. And I think Dominic Rhodes is probably a good goal line back there too. But, you know, I don't know. Some of these coaches, they just have their favorite players. And if you fall out of favor and you're in the doghouse, man, you're not going to play.
All right, let's get to clicking wide receivers. I've got someone who has kind of been pretty quiet over the last couple of weeks. Wide receiver Patrick Crane for the Dallas Cowboys. He's been very silent, just a couple catches in the last two games. But against the New York Giants, I expect, since the Giants are going to roll coverage over to T.O., that Creighton's going to have a big day, and he's going to prove that he is well worth being the second wide receiver for the team.
You know, he might actually be the difference in this game, because you know that the Giants will roll the coverage over to T.O. You know, and sometimes T.O. steps up like he did this past week, and then other times he becomes Mr. Butterfingers there and tries to run without the ball and all. And if Creighton doesn't do the job of getting open and making the plays, you know, that might be the difference between winning and losing.
The Cowboys will struggle. Yeah, I agree. Who do you got there at the wide receiver position?
I like a guy that not many people might not know about right now. He's a veteran. He's been around for a long time. He used to play for New England. It's David Patton down in New Orleans. If you haven't been paying attention, the guy's averaging 83 yards receiving the past 4 weeks. Last week, he scored for the team. I mean, Drew Brees is on fire. The Saints have won four in a row after losing the first four. You know, he might actually be on a lot of free waiver wires out there right now. So if you got somebody on a bye, maybe Randy Moss or Wes Welker or Laverness Coles or Jericho Cotchery, somebody like that on a bye, and you need somebody to pick up for 1 week. David Patton, I think, is a great play this week. See, they played the Rams at home, so
yep.
You know, he could very easily catch for another maybe 100 yards and maybe even another score.
All right, Jeff says Detroit wide receiver Roy Williams traveling to Arizona is going to have a big game. So that's Roy Williams of Detroit playing against Arizona. And I kind of agree with Jeffrey on that one, because Arizona's secondary is they started the season pretty hot, and they've been suspect of late. So they're giving us some big plays. Tight ends, who you got there, Naz?
Okay, well, Chicago is coming off their bye, and they're playing at Oakland this week. So I like the rookie, Greg Olsen. He's getting more involved in the passing game. He's catching 4, 5, 6 passes a week and also getting the red zone looks. And, you know, Brian Greasy's been a little bit wild lately, but the one guy that's been consistent and doing well for them is Greg Olsen. So I expect him to produce again this week.
Yeah, the rook has looked pretty good there. Jeffrey says, whether it's Todd Heap or Quinn Sipnewski, either Baltimore tight end, whoever does wind up playing, because we're not sure if Heap is going to play or not, they're going against Cincinnati. Cincinnati has just been god-awful on defense. They've been allowing everybody to score on them. So Jeff says, play the Baltimore tight end.
I'd really watch the injury and note there on Todd Heap, because it seems like it's been like 2 months since the guy's playing. He's got hamstring issues, he's got the ankle or whatever. So I mean, that is a good matchup. So we'll see. We'll see.
Why Jeff said he went again and said and look for Quinn Sipnewski if it looks like Heap isn't going to play. I've got on Monday Night Football, I think San Francisco Vernon Davis tight end at Seattle on Monday Night Football. Only because Vernon Davis is the only shred of hope that San Francisco has to go into Seattle and actually compete. With Frank Gore hurt, Vernon Davis has become the offensive weapon that Alex Smith tries to get the ball to. I think he'll have at least 5 or 6 catches against Seattle, and maybe, just maybe, sneak into the end zone once.
He's like the only guy on that team that's doing anything right now. He's 7 catches for 77 yards last week. And, I mean, Terrell Jackson catching a couple passes, and Arnaz Battle caught 4 for 35. And I don't know what's going on in San Francisco, but obviously I think that the offensive coordinator, he needs to either adjust the playbook and get rid of some of the plays. Some of our sources say that he's got like a 200 offensive pass plays in the book, and I'm like, how can you remember all those teams? I mean, come on, it's just so easy, right? The fly pattern, the slant, the in and out, the hook. I mean,
right.
195, you know, how can anyone understand that? I don't know. I mean, I think they need to make it more basic, and maybe that'll help the team out. But yeah, definitely, he's in a position to produce, you know, if they can get anything done, that is.
Yeah, that, and he's the guy who's going to have to do it, because they're hurting there in San Francisco on the offensive side of the ball. All right, it's time to make some flicks. These are players that you should sit, not necessarily get them off your roster, but if you have them, think twice before you play them. All right, at the quarterback position, Naz, who do you think we should be wary of?
Well, there was one quarterback here that started off the season in pretty good shape. In fact, I've got him a couple of my fantasy teams. But lately, Jason Campbell can't hit the broadside of a barn, right? He can't connect with Santana, Moss, and Randall L. And Cooley's just about the only guy he can connect with. And they're playing Philadelphia this week. And if Jason Campbell can't even throw a touchdown pass against the New York Jets last week, then he's certainly not going to do much against the Philadelphia Eagles this week. So I would sit him.
All right, Jeffrey says, I think he's going out on a little bit of a limb here, but he says be wary of Cleveland quarterback Derek Anderson. He's traveling to Pittsburgh to face the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I kind of have to agree with Jeff a little bit there, because the last time the Steelers played Cleveland, they blanked them, right? Monday, to start the season, they beat them 35-0 or something like that, 38-0.
That's right, but of course we have to keep in mind, I don't think Derek Anderson was playing that game. I think that was Charlie Fry.
That's right. Fry started and Anderson came in the second half. So yeah.
What's interesting about Derek Anderson is that it doesn't matter if the team gets way behind, is that, you know, he even in garbage time against the Patriots, he threw 2 second-half late touchdowns. So, you know, as long as he gets his points, it doesn't really matter if it comes the first quarter to keep competitive, or comes late in the game. They just don't want to pull Steve McNair, you know, like they did this past Monday night, where they just get so far behind and it becomes a mess or whatever, and then, you know, he's dinking and dunking everything, and then they end up, you know, putting in the backup, who I guess would be Brady Quinn. I don't think they're ready to do that. So I think it's going to be a little bit more competitive than that you could think, but obviously it's a bad matchup. But I wouldn't count Derek Anderson out yet, and I can't believe I just said that. But, I mean, we are talking week 10 here, and the guy's still like a top 5 or 6 fantasy quarterback for the season. And I actually picked him up in one of my leagues and playing him.
And he was undrafted. Now, you got to remember, Derek Anderson.
I don't think anyone drafted him. I mean, because, you know, everyone thought that Charlie Fry, we thought that Charlie Fry, you know, that we had him penciled in as the starter there. I thought that Brady Quinn would come in sometime around week 6 to 8, 10. And here we are in week 10. And it's Derek Anderson. So I give the guy credit. And, boy, he really has good chemistry with both Braylon Edwards and Kellen Winslow.
Well, he sure does.
I think that's what kept him on the team right now and kept him still as a starter. But no doubt, it is a bad matchup.
All right, the quarterback I'm telling you to sit is St. Louis Rams quarterback Mark Bulger. He is going to New Orleans, where the New Orleans Saints have turned a corner. That team has gotten better both offensively and defensively. And defensively, last week they had 3 picks and a fumble recovery. That's not looking good for Bulger, who still is nursing 2 broken ribs and has got some mobility problems with his knee. I just don't think he'll be able to get the job done in New Orleans, so I would sit him if you've got him. All right, running backs, who do you have to flick there, Naz?
Oh, well, it's just been a horrendous season for this guy. He started off okay, but, I mean, and of course, he went to the University of Alabama, where I lived in that state for 30 years, Sean Alexander. Oh, boy. You know, first it was the wrist, and then, you know, he's running tentatively, the line's not blocking, and then he runs for 30 yards here and 40 yards there, and then this past week he gets hit and injures his knee and his ankle, comes out of the game, goes back into the game, still can't get anything done. Now they're saying that, you know, like you said earlier, Holmgren said that we want to go more towards a pass-first offense because our running game obviously is not working. Alexander's supposed to probably not going to practice very much this week, may get some work in Friday. It's a Monday night game, which means that fantasy owners probably need to make their lineup decisions by the first game on Sunday, unless you do have somebody, maybe if you've got Maurice Morris and Sean Alexander on your team, you can wait till Monday night and make a decision at the last minute. But right now, I think you got to sit Sean Alexander and, hopefully you have a decent alternative to start and make him prove himself that he deserves to be starting right now, because I've got him on one or two teams, and everybody I know is just being killed by the guy. He's just not producing.
Yeah, I think in a couple of leagues had the seventh pick, and when it came to me with the seventh pick, I had to go with Sean Alexander, and boy, gosh, I want to take those picks.
Yeah, I tell you, I got him in pick number 10 twice, and I thought I had a steal. And, the first couple of games, he rushed for 100 yards and a score. And, it seems like okay. And then it's been downhill ever since, 70 yards and 40 yards and 30 yards. And, what's going on? And he's got these good matchups. I mean, who doesn't run on the Browns? I mean, come on, Steven Jackson had been out with a groin, partially torn groin, comes in and rushes for 50 yards and a score in the first,
drive of the game. Yeah, exactly.
And Sean Alexander can't even get 30 or 40 yards in most of a game. Now, granted, he got hurt, but, I mean, come on. I mean, he's got the knee, he's got the wrist, now he's got the knee and the ankle, and it's one big mess.
There are certainly problems with Alexander. Okay, Jeffrey and I are going to stick with the NFC East running backs. Jeffrey says, flick Clinton Portis, running back for the Washington Redskins against the Philadelphia Eagles. Basically, he's come off a big game against the Jets where he rushed for almost 200 yards, but that's not going to happen against the Eagles. So Jeff says, make sure you flick him. I'm flicking Brandon Jacobs of the New York Giants. He's going to go against the Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys, who have yet to allow anyone to rush over 100 yards, and they've only allowed 3 rushing touchdowns. So I would say do not play Brandon Jacobs. Find somebody else.
Now, that wasn't just a little bit because you're such a big Cowboys homer fan, was it, Steven?
Well, if you're clicking Eli Manning against the Cowboys, I got to flick Brandon Jacobs.
Okay, T-Shea, I know sometimes we let our picks. It's every once in a while.
Every once in a while we do.
Your picks are kind of clad a little bit because you say, maybe if I say this enough time.
It'll work.
And
exactly.
Then on the radio, it'll actually come true. But sometimes it does work. So, yeah. I mean, I was playing in this game online last week, and where we had to pick the best players. And I've got Romo and T.O. on a couple of my fantasy teams. And so I went ahead and picked them, and boom, got to throw 3 touchdowns, and T.O. has the big game. So, it actually helped me out in that instance.
And last week I told people, I was like, don't play McNabb against the Cowboys. I know people are thinking that McNabb's going to throw all over the Cowboys. Don't play McNabb against the Cowboys. And he throws 2 interceptions and doesn't throw. And I think he only threw 1 touchdown pass. So,
yeah. He only did. He kind of saved the day. He was dinking and dunking to Westbrook, and Westbrook caught 14 passes,
14 catches. Yeah,
game. Yeah. But for only 90 yards. So, I mean, you knew it was like dink and dunk. It was hiked the ball 3 seconds, and then Westbrook just kind of drifts over the line. and he just soft tosses him the football.
Well,
he did manage it.
Half those catches, 7 of those catches were in the fourth quarter when the game was pretty much –
That's right. The game was over. Yeah, and they were just trying to get something, and he couldn't find anything downfield. So, and he threw the one surprise touchdown to Hank Basket late in the game. I know I've got McNabb in one game, so I was watching that very closely. Actually, that helped me win a game, even though it wasn't very good. Sometimes a little fantasy production can help you get a
can
win, and you don't have
win.
To have the huge game. But yeah, it's. I don't know. I think McNabb's going to do okay. He's doing, he's almost a year now, right at a year now from the torn ACL. But, I mean, you're playing the Cowboys, you can't expect, huge big games.
Right.
That's a good team, so I'll give you that.
All right, wide receivers, who are we flicking? Jeffrey, speaking of Donovan McNabb, says the flick Philadelphia Eagles Kevin Curtis against the Washington Redskins. Kevin Curtis had that one huge game against the Detroit Lions. After that, he's been pretty much mystery relevant. Jeff says bench him this week.
Okay, and let's see. I've got Daryl Jackson that I'm going to bench because the guy, I love the guy, and the guy's got so much talent, but he's miscast in 49ers. The San Francisco team doesn't know what they're doing offensively, especially the wide receiver position. I don't know. It seems like he might even be asking himself, why am I even drawing a paycheck here? Because I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
It seems like he catches like 2 passes for 21 yards every week. He did it last week. He missed the one game. He misses 1 or 2 games here and there with injuries, although he's just like standing on the sidelines or standing, they hike the ball and he runs a couple of yards downfield and he goes, well, they're not going to throw it to me anyway. So they're playing the 49ers, and it's a great matchup and all, but the, you know, they're playing Seattle on Monday night.
They're playing Seattle, right, on Monday Night Football.
That's why I got mixed up, because he used to be a Seahawk. I bet he wishes he was a Seahawk right now, but you know, if anyone knew the defense, it would be him. But I mean, until you actually do something of value, like even just a 40-yard touchdown catch would be nice. I don't see how you can start the guy. We already talked about this. Vernon Davis is the guy in the last couple of games that's been catching all the passes, and then Arnaz Battle's really the second option, and he scores every once in a blue moon. But, you know, I mean, Daryl Jackson hasn't done anything this year to warrant starting him, especially this late in the fantasy season.
Well, and on that point, I am actually going to be flicking Carolina wide receiver Steve Smith. He's going against Atlanta, and generally that is a matchup where Steve Smith just dominates. But it's not really Steve Smith. He just doesn't have anybody to get him the ball. No one gets
David
him the ball. David Carr.
It's David Carr.
If David Carr gets in there, he doesn't even look his way. So
no,
I
don't know. If I was head coach John Fox, I'd be telling Carr, you know, hey, every fourth play, we're going to look at Steve Smith.
Yeah.
And by golly, if he's covered, I don't care. You throw it in there. If you throw an interception, that's fine. At least you're trying to make the plays, because you've got to trust him. Run some slants, quick slants, three-step drop slants, down and outs. I mean, anything to get him the football.
Yeah,
you just can't throw him three short passes right off the line of scrimmage and expect to try and break five tackles and run 80 yards for a score. It ain't going to work.
Yeah. Yeah, but until I see some production from Steve Smith, it's just not cutting it. He's just getting one, two catches for 5, 12, 20 yards, and that's just not going to cut it
when you need some points from
your wide receiver. All right, let's get to tight ends, where Jeffrey is shocking me by flicking Cowboys Jason Witten against the New York Giants. I think this was his final revenge. He's like, I'm not going to be there, so I'm just going to go out on a whim and say Jason Witten. That would be something that would be something Jeffrey would do on me. I don't understand that at all. I don't really know what he was thinking either. I'm going to blame this one and chalk this one up to he was very, very sick by the time he got into flicking his tight ends.
Maybe he was hallucinating. Maybe he thought it was a click instead of a flick. I don't know.
All right.
I think Jason was going to have another big game, even though this against my Giants. I mean, they're going to look to him over the middle. And, heck, if he can take a big hit and lose his helmet, still run 50 yards downfield, then you got to give him the guy props there.
Exactly. Who you got at the tight end to flick?
Going back to Baltimore, I know that Jeffrey said to go ahead and click Todd Heap, but I'm saying flick him because – even if he does play, he's, you know, the guy just always seems to play hurt when he plays, when he's got an injury. The hamstring is not something that heals quickly. Obviously, he's been late scratches. If he happens to play in this game, I'm not sure how effective he's going to be, even though it is a great matchup against the Cincinnati Bengals. Sometimes you just got to go with the player's health over the matchup. And, you know, I mean, if I've got another solid alternative, Tony Scheffler for Denver, whether it's Patrick Ramsey or Jay Cutler in there throwing, I mean, the guy's catching 5 and 6 balls a week. I would, I would start him over Todd Heap right now. Right now, I don't start Todd Heap until he actually plays an entire game and does something of value and proves. And you've also got Steve Mignere that's on it, probably going to be on a short leash, and Kyle Bowler's not exactly, you know, Tony Romo. So, the whole offense for Baltimore might just be Willis McGahee left and right and up the gut. I don't know.
All right, and to go with my flicking of quarterback Mark Bulger, I'm flicking St. Louis Ram tight end Randy McMichael. I just don't think he's I really expected big things from Randy McMichael this season, you know, making the transition, becoming a St. Louis Ram. But because of injuries to the offensive line and Mark Bulger never really getting in sync yet this season, Randy McMichael just hasn't been the tight end I expected. And this week against New Orleans is playing good defense right now. I don't expect him to do much. He'll have a couple grabs, maybe 2 or 3, but not anything of significance. So I say sit Randy McMichael if you have him. And that does it for all our clicks and flicks for Week 10. All right, so that means that after Week 10, there will be no more bye weeks. This is the final bye week. Who are on a bye this week, Naz?
The bye teams this week are the Houston Texans, the New England Patriots. And I hear all the groans out there because everyone with Tom Brady and Randy Moss and Wes Welker and even Dante Stallworth are saying, are you kidding me? I can't play my 40-point player. No, you can't. They're on a bye. They're going to be sitting at home watching some football this week. New York Jets, well, we won't be missing much of them except maybe Cotri and Coles owners. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Brian Greasy and Joey Galloway scored the last couple of weeks, so you want to sit him. You don't want to play him. You get a big fat zero if you do.
Yeah, there you go. All right, and then after this, when we get to week 11, no more buys, back to 16 games per week, and everybody will be available for you. Once again, we've been talking to Mike Nazarek of Fantasy Football Mastermind. You can check him out at ffmastermind.com. Once again, that's www.ffmastermind.com. Mike Nazarek. Mike, thank you very much. You've been listening to
The Mastermind Edge.
You have a good night, Mike. Thanks a lot.
Okay, take care. We'll talk later. Bye.
All right. Once again, that was Mike Nazarek of Fantasy Football Mastermind. We'd like to thank him to coming out every week and giving him all, giving us his information regarding fantasy football. That's all the time I've got for you tonight. Hopefully Jeffrey will be well enough to join us next week and we can have our three-man show again. But for now, this has been Steven Miranda for Fantasy Football Rants and Raves. Good night.